Luke 19, verses 11 to 27. While they were listening to this, he, Jesus, went on to tell them a parable, because he was near Jerusalem, and the people thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear at once. He said, "A man of noble birth went to a distant country to have himself appointed king, and then to return. So he called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 minas. 'Put this money to work,' he said, 'until I come back.' But his subjects hated him and sent a delegation after him to say, 'We don't want this man to be our king.' He was made king, however, and returned home. Then he sent for the servants to whom he had given the money in order to find out what they had gained with it. The first one came and said, 'Sir, your mina has earned 10 more.' 'Well done, my good servant,' his master replied. 'Because you have been trustworthy in a very small matter, take charge of 10 cities.' The second came and said, 'Sir, your mina has earned 5 more.' His master answered, 'You take charge of 5 cities.' Then another servant came and said, 'Sir, here is your mina. I've kept it laid away in a piece of cloth. I was afraid of you, because you're a hard man. You take out what you did not put in and reap what you did not sow.' His master replied, 'I will judge you by your own words, you wicked servant. You knew, did you, that I am a hard man, taking out what I did not put in and reaping what I did not sow? Why then didn't you put my money on deposit, so that when I came back I could have collected it with interest?' Then he said to those standing by, 'Take his mina away from him and give it to the one who has 10 minas.' 'Sir,' they said, 'he already has 10. He replied, "I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given. But as for the one who has nothing, even what they have will be taken away. But those enemies of mine who did not want me to be king over them, bring them here and kill them in front of me.'" Well, Lord Barry was a really important person in a country called Walmoney. There he is, that's a picture of him. As you can see, he lived on a great big farm. And he and his servants looked after hens and sheep and cows. They grew vegetables and fruit and flowers. And he had a farm shop on the side to sell the hen eggs and the sheep's wool and the cow's milk and everything else. Well, one day, Lord Barry packed a suitcase into his car to go on a journey. He wasn't going away forever, just for a while. He was going to the palace to be made king of Walmoney. But before he got in the car, he called together 10 of his servants. And to each of them, he gave an envelope. Inside was some money, £10,000, a check for £10,000. And a message. Let's see what it says. There it is. It says, "My dear servant, whilst I'm away, use my money. Buy and sell to make me more money. See you soon, your loving master, Lord Barry." And with that, he jumped in the car and drove off and waved goodbye. But at the gate, some of the people of Walmoney were waiting for him, and they looked very, very angry. Even though Lord Barry had only ever helped them and been kind to them, they chanted, "We don't want Barry to be king. We don't want Barry to be king." And in fact, they even tried to kill him. But there was nothing he could do, and Lord Barry became King Barry. Well, 2 years later, one afternoon, a great big golden carriage pulled by horses came up the drive. The door was opened, and out stepped, you guessed it, King Barry, wearing a crown because he was now the king, and royal robes. He was back. "Could you fetch my 10 servants?" he said. I want to know how they used my money." Well, the first servant had used her master's money to buy some more hens. And she had sold the eggs in the farm shop. Now, it had been really hard work. Those people of Walmoney who hated the king, they wouldn't buy anything from her. She's one of his servants, they said. But bit by bit, she earned more and more money for her master. And so she said, look, 2 years ago, sir, you give me £10,000. Here is £100,000. And King Barry was so proud of her. Well done. That is great work. Good servant. That was brilliant. In fact, I know I can trust you, so I want you to be in charge of 10 of Walmoney's great cities. Well, everyone's jaw dropped. I mean, this was so generous. 10 cities, and all she did was sell some eggs. Wow. Then the second servant stepped forward. Now, he'd used his master's money to keep growing and selling vegetables. And again, it had been hard work, but bit by bit, he'd grown his master's money. And he said, sir, 2 years ago, you gave me £10,000. Here is £50,000. And likewise, the king was proud of him. I want you to be in charge of 5 cities. And again, everyone just said, what? I mean, what that servant did was good, but 5 cities? King Barry's rewards are crazy generous. But then a third servant stepped forward. Now, 2 years ago, when he had been given his envelope, he could have bought some more sheep and sold the sheep's wool in the farm shop and made money that way. He could have bought some more cows and sold milk or some seeds and grown flowers and sold them. And he was good at those things as well. But what did he do with his master's money? Nothing. Zilch, zero, nada. In fact, he didn't even try. He just stuffed it into a drawer and left it to gather dust. Maybe he had thought to himself, look, my master's not going to come back. Or I'm going to do what I want to do, not what he wants me to do. Maybe he didn't like his master. Anyway, he steps forward and starts to make an excuse. Here's your money back. He said, I put it in my drawer because you're a grabber. You're always taking things from other people, and I was afraid of you. That's right. I was afraid of you. I was scared of you. And so actually, if there's anyone to blame here, it's not me. It's you. The two other servants whispered, King Barry's not a grabber. He's a giver. He's just given me 10 cities for selling some eggs. And King Barry likewise could see right through his excuse. You're lying, he said. You weren't scared of me at all. If you had been scared of me, then the very least you'd have done would have been to walk half a mile down the road and to put the money in the bank. At least that way you'd have got the money back with a little bit more. If you'd have been scared of me, you would have obeyed me, surely. You weren't scared. You were just disobedient. You were being wicked. Take the money from him, King Barry said, and give it to my faithful servant. She can be trusted. Sadly, not him. And those enemies, those people who tried to kill me when I left 2 years ago, who hate me even though I've only ever been good and kind to them, make sure they face trial and are executed. Well, this parable of Jesus and my modern version of it about King Barry, which I've just told you, is all about Jesus. King Barry in the story is like Jesus. Just like Lord Barry ran a business, a farm and a farm shop, so too Jesus has a very clear business. We heard about it at the end of last week. He's all about the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. He's about seeking and saving lost people from their sin. just like the pilot for the rescue helicopter we were seeing last week comes to look for and to rescue people out of the raging sea, so Jesus came to seek and to rescue lost people from their sin. That is Jesus' business. We saw in the story that Lord Barry went away to be made king, and likewise Jesus, after dying and rising again, went away, not forever, just for a while, to God's palace in heaven to be given a crown so that one day he might come back as king of the world. When Lord Barry went away, he gave his servants money and a message, remember? Whilst I'm away, use my money. And likewise, when when Jesus went away, he gave us something. Let's see what he gave us. He didn't give us a watch, but he gave us time. And he gave us all the money that we have, a check. And he gave us a message. Here it is. My dear servant, whilst I'm away, use whatever I've given you and whatever I've made you good at to make sure that whoever you know and others too get to hear of me and my rescue. See you soon, your loving master, Jesus. Continue my business of seeking and saving the lost. And that's what Jesus wants us to do until he comes back. He wants us to pray so that people might hear about Jesus and his rescue. If you're following on the sheet, on one of the older sheets, you've got these things laid out for you there. You can follow along. He wants us to pray that people might hear about Jesus and his rescue. He wants us to live for him, that people might want to hear about Jesus and his rescue. He wants us to give money and to use our money that people can hear about Jesus and his rescue. He wants us to speak about him, that people can hear about him and his rescue. He wants us to be creative and inventive and use whatever he's made us good at, that people might hear about him and his rescue. Now, serving Jesus like this is wonderful and a joy, but it's not easy. In the story, some people really hated Lord Barry, do you remember? We don't want Barry to be king. And that made things difficult for his servants too. And likewise, some people don't want Jesus to be king, and they don't want to hear about him or his rescue, and that can make things hard for us as we try and do Jesus' business. And actually, more than that, we're serving a king whom we can't see and who hasn't come back yet, and that is just difficult. But even so, it is a real joy, and it will be so worth it in the end. Those servants in the story who sold eggs and vegetables for the master, tell me, what do you think? Was it worth it for them in the end? Absolutely it was. Well done, good servant. Take charge of 10 cities. It was so worth it. And likewise with Jesus. Just imagine the day when Jesus comes back. And as you go into his amazing kingdom with everyone else who trusted him for rescue, he stops you on the door and he says, it's you. And you think to yourself, oh no, what's wrong? And he says, no. I wanted to say something to you. I just wanted to tell you, well done, my good servant. All those times you prayed that people would hear of me, I heard you. All those times you used your money so that people might hear about me and my rescue, I saw you. When you did your best to speak about me to others, I was watching. When you tried to live well for me, I saw it. When you used what you're good at so that people might hear about me and my rescue, I saw it all. And I'm proud of you. Well done, good servant. And you say, yeah, but look, It was your money that you gave me, not mine, and you gave me that time that I used to pray, and When I told people about you, I was only really doing what you asked me to do. And in any case, I was so far from perfect. And he says, well, I know, but nevertheless, I'm proud of you. Well done. Well, I don't know about you, but how good would that be to hear that from Jesus on the day he comes back? It would be amazing. So it's so, so worth it. And actually, for Jesus' good servants, there won't simply be a well done. I mean, it would be good enough if that was it, but there's more. There'll also be crazy generous rewards. Like the servant in the story, who worked for just a couple of years selling eggs, making a few thousand pounds for her master. She got rewarded with 10 cities. Crazy reward. And likewise, Jesus' rewards for serving him are crazy generous. I mean, just imagine for a moment your mum or your dad saying to you, look, if you tidy up those two books that I've just bought you, I'll buy you a horse. I mean, it'd be crazy, wouldn't it? Or if you wash up your dish after eating the dinner that I've just made you, I'll buy you an iPad. I mean, that would just be crazy generous rewards, wouldn't it? That's like Jesus. He offers crazy generous rewards for his servants who serve him well. Now, just to be clear, we don't earn our place in Jesus' kingdom by serving him. No, we're given a place because of his rescue and his mercy and his death for us on the cross. But what we're seeing here is that having been given a place in his kingdom, Jesus will also give us crazy generous rewards for serving him. Huge rewards for simply doing what we can. Now, we don't know exactly what these rewards will be. Perhaps here it suggests that we'll be given really important work to do and responsibility. But we can be sure that these rewards are going to be brilliant, so much bigger and so much better than our small efforts in serving him. And just by the way, when we get there, even though we may all be rewarded in different ways, none of us will feel jealous. Just delighted to be with him in his kingdom. Happy for others with their rewards, just as we are with ours. That's hard to imagine, of course, but that's what's promised. No jealousy, just delight. So Jesus, well done. And his crazy generous rewards. Great, great reasons to serve Jesus now by using whatever he's given us and whatever he's made us good at to make sure that whoever we know and others too get to hear about him and his rescue. But we also need to learn, just as we finish, we also need to learn the lesson from the third servant. Because he's like those who say, Jesus is my master, but lives as if he's not. Jesus isn't speaking here about Christians who sometimes forget Jesus' business and need to say sorry and find it hard but keep trying. I mean, that's all of us, isn't it? Now, he's speaking here about people who, like this third servant, say, he's my master, but do absolutely nothing, zilch, zero, nada. For him. What's going to happen to someone like that? Well, we remember in the story, King Barry, he could see through this third servant's excuse. He could see that he was lying. And likewise, Jesus, on the day that he comes back, will be able to see through bad excuses and will say, no, that's not right, actually. What you say is not right. Wicked servant. I guess for some folk, they'll still get to be part of his kingdom. Even though they're told off as they come in and don't get any reward, they'll still get to be part of his kingdom. For others, well, Jesus will be able to see that they were in fact never really his servants in the first place at all, more like his enemies. And for those, they'll have to leave and face his judgment. Now, we don't need to make those decisions. We don't need to think too much about that because Jesus will know what to do. But what we need to think about is being careful not to be anything like this third servant who lives as if Jesus isn't king at all. So as we close, let's remember the first and second servants. Let's be like them. What did Jesus say again? Whilst I'm away, use whatever I've given you and whatever I've made you good at to make sure that whoever you know and others too get to hear of me and my rescue. See you soon, your loving master, Jesus. Jesus is coming back as king to save us and to give crazy generous rewards to his faithful servants. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the Lord Jesus. We thank you that even though we don't see him now, even though he hasn't come back yet, we thank you that we know for sure that one day he will come back as King of the world. Help us, we pray, as we wait for him, to be his faithful servants, to be involved in his business. Help us in that. And we thank you that Jesus is so loving and caring and so amazingly generous. Help us as we serve him, we pray. In his name we pray. Amen.